listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live in Las Vegas, live on a Thursday, live on 225 Fox Sports Radio stations across this great, great nation. Jam-packed show here. Got a couple of maybe hot takes, cold cash over hot takes. But listen, when in Rome, we'll be talking about both looking forward about the upcoming action and seasons, and also what's going on right now. Now, sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. I'm a pro. Jonas is a Joe, but he's my favorite Joe in L.A., Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, on a day in which we've got the Kentucky Derby making an interesting announcement in September, we've got news out of the world of golf. What is the Vegas lead here on this Thursday?
I think it has to be the NFL. A game is canceled. Could be cause for alarm. Hall of Fame game? No.
Yeah, the NFL announced earlier today the cancellation of the annual Hall of Fame game between the Cowboys and the Steelers that was set for August 6th. They've also postponed the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Here is the key question. Is this cancellation a sign of increased pessimism about playing football? Right? Is this due to the recent COVID trend lines? Now, many in the media, I'd say about half, maybe a little less, believe that to be the case. It's like, here we go. If we have a season, a lot of cause of more pessimism, more doubt, lack of certainty. I don't think that's what it is. What I believe it is, and I want to get your take, Jonas, is I believe this is, in general, the NFL doesn't like all these preseason games. Specifically this year, with every game being a risk, why would you want to risk preseason games? And I believe that because of this pomp and circumstance and ceremony around the Hall of Fame game, it needed to be announced earlier, and thus we're getting it now. And it's coincidental that the COVID trend lines have gone up in a way that may have exceeded what people expected. What do you think it is?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think if we were already talking about cutting the preseason in half, it wouldn't have made any sense to play a Hall of Fame game and then skip to weeks 3 and 4 of the preseason. I think this is just the first domino to fall. And if they are going to cut the preseason in half, this shouldn't be that much of a surprise.
And remember, if the team plays the Hall of Fame game, they have five preseason games. This is an extra one. So what I would say is the teams that were scheduled to play usually get an extra week of practice, and there's advantages in a way, but obviously not applicable here. Now, we mentioned, RJ Bell straight out of Vegas, we mentioned the idea that what is the consensus of the current COVID numbers? Because by definition, media is going to be sensational. Now, you would hope they stay within the truth, right? Sensational, that's true, I can deal with. But if you give them the truth and there's a sensational angle, they're going to take that angle. In fact, they should, right? They're a business. I get it. So you're seeing a lot of headlines right now. You know, biggest day in history of COVID-19 in California or whatever. And all that's, as far as I can tell, objectively true. But I do not believe there's a consensus out there right now. And there's exceptions. But in general, amongst the experts, there is not a consensus that, you know, these spikes are, you know, out of bounds of what we expected, and it's a cause of pessimism. So not only don't I think the NFL's decisions are based upon that for the Hall of Fame game, but rather I believe that there is not even a consensus. There's cause to make a different decision. as you, and again, this is just observation, as you've read things, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I also think I take any criticism of the NFL going forward with anything this offseason with a grain of salt, because we've seen enough people be critical of the NFL for even starting free agency on time. I mean, even something that was non-contact, the NFL went through with it and they got ripped for it. The NFL put on a virtual draft and there were people that were skeptical about that as well, too. The fact that the NFL is canceling this, I don't think it's a referendum or an indictment on the league saying, okay, maybe we were wrong. I just think they're taking the proper precaution. But people have been out to get them all off season.
Yeah, and again, this feels political in a way.
Yeah.
In that, you know, you've got the wokest of the woke. The NBA is going to be the league that does it their way. And the funny thing is, and you kind of get why if you're actually on the conservative side, and about half the country is, right, is if you are, not on Twitter necessarily, but if you are, you can see how, like, wait, the NFL is supposed to be, you know, our league, but if you look at it, it's far from, you know, the president's position or you know, most of the Republicans. Doesn't mean the leagues are obligated to do that, but it feels like it's a matter of how liberal, how progressive, whatever word you want to use, are these leagues more than which one's conservative, because, you know, you can be relatively conservative because you're moving closer to the 50th percentile, let's say, but obviously the NFL is not conservative like Republicans are. Doesn't mean there's has to be. It just means you can see sometimes where middle America feels left out of a lot of these conversations. You're not left out. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Jonas, there was other decisions and announcements the NFL made today that I thought were also really encouraging about their optimism that things are going to go as they expect.
Yeah, and that subject transitions over to training camps. Even before the Hall of Fame game set for early August, NFL Executive Vice President / General Counsel Jeff Pasch said the league notified its teams to expect an on-time start for training camps, which is in late July.
All right, so about 20 after the hour, we're going to talk about the impact in Vegas on this right after the first break, 20 after. Then at the bottom of the hour, Malcolm Jenkin said something about this that I consider to be all nearly, if not absurd. So we'll continue with this story. Now, though, baseball time, baby. Let's talk some baseball.
Yeah, and Major League Baseball is back, RJ. They will be coming back. They are going to be starting up in late July. July 23rd and 24th is the season that start date is as projected by many insiders around the league. But you have the Astros and the Cubs, with Houston most notably talking about the idea of having some fans in attendance for their home games.
Now, this is fascinating. I took logic 150 at Ohio State. I still remember it was symbolic logic. So the theory was you didn't even need words, right? You could use equal signs or, you know, greater than signs and convey a logical argument. We're going to have some fun with that, because there's two possibilities here with the Cubs and Astros talking about fans. Because coincidentally, one of the main reasons they were looking for concessions was there wasn't going to be any fans. So was this a matter of the teams that are planning this not disclosing it in bad faith, saying, oh, we need concessions because there's not going to be any fans. Oh, by the way, here's the plan to have fans. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it's interesting that it wasn't discussed before. Could be bad faith before the contract was finalized. Or even more interesting, Jonas, I think, it could be a reaction to the agreement. That it's desperate, that it's so bad that we've got to react in that way by saying, let's try to force some fans in here because otherwise we're going to go broke.
Right.
What's your gut feeling on, was this caused by the agreement? Was this just hidden, or maybe a combination? What's your gut feeling?
I think this is a reaction. I think teams are now looking around going, okay, this isn't really ideal for us. We're playing 60 games. We're going to lose a ton of money. If we can get back any money and we can let fans in at limited capacities. And look, it's, you know, these ballparks are what, 30, 40,000 seats. So if they're thinking to themselves, all right, if we can just get a third full and we can get 10,000 in there, then at least we can get something back. I don't think this was premeditated. I think this was just Major League Baseball and some owners saying, all right, now that we have that out of the way and we know we're going to lose money, how can we get some of it back with a 60-game season?
Well, we've got the evidence. Houston's owner, Jim Crane, said the following. This is a quote. Only thing we have to do that can counter the team's revenue losses is get some people in the building and sell some tickets, some merchandise, some cold beer, whatever they'd like to have. Now, let's do to close our symbolic logic here, but with words. The great negotiation of the players, and let's be honest, the union did an amazing job in this negotiation.
Yeah.
The great negotiation leads to the owners getting a tough deal, a deal that they are having trouble reconciling in their minds as being okay. So they're pressing. And I'm saying this is possible, maybe likely. They're pressing. They're saying, we got to get some fans in there. In fact, we just read the quote. But what does that mean? The fans are going to be exposed potentially, and thus the health of the fans will suffer. Why? Because the damn players did so well in the negotiation, Jonas. You see how that circle closes?
Yeah. And so now you can pin it on the players.
It's another one. But it's kind of funny. It's the old butterfly effect, right? But really, it seems like that. I mean, let's be candid. Isn't the Houston guy pretty much saying we wouldn't bother with this if it weren't for such a bad deal?
Yeah, there's only one meaning to the word counter, and you know, you're doing something in return. So this is all that they could do in return. I wonder if there are only going to be a limited number of teams that are going to be able to have fans in their ballpark. Do those teams now automatically have a leg up, so to speak, on the competition just based on the fact that they do have somewhat of a home field advantage?
Or could it be that when the health of the fans starts to suffer, that it becomes such a morale killer for the team?
I mean, I know.
I mean, we just got to stay tuned. Speaking of that, next up, after a commercial break, we're going to tell you what is the impact of the Hall of Fame game being canceled on Vegas. It's going to surprise you.
That's coming up next, but first, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone, he's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will get back into the cancellation of the Hall of Fame game.
No doubt. In just a few minutes. And Jonas, this is going to feel hot takey, but I'm going to say it now so people can kind of get their minds wrapped around. It will be within 5 minutes. Is literally, I think we now have evidence of the most egregious money grab in the history of U.S. sports. Now think about that. That's a high bar, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, big time.
I think you're going to agree with me that we now have evidence to say that, yes, we've seen that. But first, well, I mean, I guess it's just a great day to join. This is the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio. Audiences more than doubled in the last year. Thank you so much for that. And we'll keep trying to do our best. You can listen on 225 stations on your dial across the country. And you can actually see those stations if you don't know necessarily where yours might be in a given place. FoxSportsRadio.com. Right now in Las Vegas, 106 degrees on the strip. The neon is pulsing.
So, RJ, the news came down earlier today, the NFL announcing the cancellation of the Hall of Fame game between the Cowboys and the Steelers on August 6th. It's the annual first preseason game in the NFL each and every year. So, of course, this might have an effect on Vegas.
It might, and it does. This is a surprisingly big game that's bet big in a surprising degree. And when I'm asked, and I'm asked oftentimes, Jonas, on like shows that are less hardcore sports, but you know, like for a long time I did Kevin and Bean. They just we'll call it retired, unfortunately for them. They got at the end, it was a budget decision. Imagine that. Radio Hall of Fame, and you get cut like with one day's notice.
Yeah.
I mean, tough business, baby. Yeah, tough business. But the you know, when I would have those kind of conversations with more casual fans, I'd often get the question, how much is bet on this? How much is bet on that? And the answer is almost always, look at the TV ratings, and the amount of people watching is a great gauge of how many people is betting. And the only exception, major exception, is baseball gets less than you think by that metric, simply because the money line, which instead of having like a favorite of 3 points, you have to say, okay, the Yankees are -225, +200. And just some people, it's just hard. They understand it. It's just hard to gauge what's a good bet or not. And thus baseball suffers. So we can have almost full certainty about the NFL Hall of Fame game by simply looking at the ratings. Last year, 5.3 million people watched the Hall of Fame game. 5.3 million. Now, let's look at the opening Thursday game, right? Super Bowl champ, that, you know, big game, one of the biggest games of the year, 22 million. So, more than 4X. Four times as many. So you might think Hall of Fame game's not so big, right? Well, check this out. Week 3, Thursday night, so standalone game, TV, 6 million. So Hall of Fame game last year, 5.3 million.
Wow.
A crappy Thursday night game, 6 million. Thus, 88% as many people watch the Hall of Fame game as Jacksonville, Tennessee. So, I mean, you add in... And you talked about this in the pre-show. You add in the fact that this would have been the first, you know, really, well, I guess NBA, but still, first football bet after all this abstinence time of not betting. It probably would have been bet even bigger. That said, I believe, and watched even more probably, but that said, I think that the first weekend, whenever that is, of preseason will still have that same effect, I think. Any thoughts on it?
Yeah, well, and also I look at the fact that you had the Cowboys and the Steelers, which I don't know that there is another team that comes close to Dallas as far as a national brand goes as a fan base. You're a Steeler fan. There's a Steeler bar in every single big city in this country. I mean, that fan base travels. With those two teams matching up for the first time in 6 months, I think it would have been massive.
And I'll tell you this, and this is right in my demographic wheelhouse age-wise, and the reason being, so I was 5 years old in 1975, and obviously 10 years old in 1980. And in that time, the Steelers won 4 Super Bowls. And obviously that spoils a kid. And the idea, though, that 2 of those were against the Cowboys just created in the, you know, Steeler fans of a certain age, the amount of disdain they have for Dallas and the Cowboys specifically is shocking. Do you, as a you're not a Cowboy fan, you're not a Steeler fan, do you get a sense of that from a distance?
Well, my oldest brother was a Steeler fan.
Okay.
And so he always knew. That's why that Super Bowl in Arizona where Neil O'Donnell basically threw those 2 touchdown passes to Larry Brown.
Larry Brown. Davis got a good deal on that.
Right,
after the...
right. He kept me well-versed on just sort of the bitter rivalry between the two going all the way back to the 70s.
And Michael Irvin's interception or pass interference, he was pulling on the shoulder. I won't forget that. But I'll tell you this, it was even harder because remember, that was the first Steelers Super Bowl since they beat the Rams. So in 15 years at that point, and they were still undefeated. And there was something about that, you know, never losing the Super Bowl. Bam Morris had a decent game, but I don't know. All right. So NBA, and to me, this Zion stuff really pulls back the curtain on something when it comes to a money grab.
Yeah, a Pelican source told ESPN that Zion is going to surprise a lot of people, that he's going to shock some people, quote unquote, with the way that he's kept himself in shape during the quarantine.
But then ESPN had some people on background, I think is my understanding, talking about saying, but no, we did not reverse engineer the playoff plan to get Zion in. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's been going around, that they've tried to claim that this wasn't part of the overall plan of attack and wasn't part of this overall. Anybody who thinks logically understands that this was a way for them to try and get Zion in. And then when you've got the comparisons being made to Michael Jordan versus the Celtics in 1986 and the potential of matching up against LeBron in the first round of the playoffs, it seems pretty obvious to me.
Though I don't think anyone from the NBA wants to bring up Jordan in year two. If we recall back to blew out his foot and it was like he was going to be out for the season. And then they say there's a 10% chance you'll never play again. He said, I don't care, I'm going to play, and puts up 63 against Boston. I don't think we want to necessarily compare Kevin Durant to that right now. But, and again, let's be fair. The mythology on that, even with a documentary, is going to be, you know, juiced up a little bit, probably. But
of course,
it's probably pretty close, right? So here's what I'm going to say unequivocally, is this NBA decision with the playoffs, how they designed it, right, is, in my opinion, it might well be, and I mean, I'm saying I don't see any clear alternative that's bigger, the biggest, most obvious money grab in the history of U.S. sports. Now, you might say, that seems strong, RJ. Okay, let me make the case quickly. It's going to be compelling. When is the last time, and this is a rhetorical question, when is the last time that who won didn't matter, as opposed to, let's say, in a standings, like top eight, right? Who's in the top eight? But instead it's the top eight plus, if anyone's within this certain range, we're then going to do something else. Like, we're going to act like it's a tie. So anything within four games or four and a half is going to be a tie. So, Jonas, you're a borderline historian of sports. Can you recall that?
Yeah, that's never happened.
Okay. So literally for the first time since eighth grade wrestling meets where they have the pigtails, or maybe there's something there, but in professional sports or even college that I can think of, it's not about winning or losing or being ahead in the standings. There's like a handicap, like in golf. All right. So you might say, RJ, that's a pretty good point. If it's something that's never happened before. But why? Why were they so worried about Washington getting in? Because if Washington wasn't competitive for the eighth spot, nobody was. Thus, the top eight set. If you're playing with no home court advantage, jockeying for position doesn't really mean a lot. So why would these teams, the eight teams in the playoffs, even play the eight games left? Right? So they had to find a way to make it make sense for the East to play. The only way they could do that is say, well, hey, we got to be fair to Washington. In order to be fair to Washington, quote unquote fair, in order to make it viable for them to play, they first and not only had to break a rule that no league has ever broken, which is you're either in the top eight or you're not, right? Or top X or not. There's never been a handicap. But then they thought, okay, let's be honest, we're screwing Orlando here, so we better make it up to them. So let's do something, might be a bit unusual. Let's have a series, but the series, each team has to win a different number of games. Jonas, historian, sports historian, when has that ever happened before?
Yeah, that's never happened either.
Okay, so literally, to get these games in, they literally had to break two rules that spanned, as Tony Soprano would say, time in memoriam. As far back as we can remember, there's in recorded history, it's never happened before. Okay. Seems like a money grab to me, because why were those eight games so important? Because to get to 70 in those local TV deals was a big, big deal, right? So here's the closer. The second leading scorer for the team that they were supposedly protecting, Washington, Davis Berton, and he's competitive for the most improved player of the year, literally said, you know, I'm skipping this. And you might think, okay, well, Avery Bradley did for his, you know, his family. So what's the cause, Davis? What's the rationale? I think I'm going to get a big contract. It's a contract year. I don't want to risk getting hurt. So literally, a key player on the team that you're supposedly doing all of these shenanigans for, gymnastics, to give him a chance, don't care enough to even have their key players play. Biggest money grab ever. What do you think?
I'm trying to think. Is there anybody ever taken a fight knowing they were just going to live? I mean, God, I guess McGregor would maybe be in the conversation. Larry Allen, look, that might be in the conversation for the contract he got after the fact. But no, this is all about money. I think anybody who tries to say, you know, this is about doing the right thing and anything else, I don't see it. To go to this extent to try and get something done, it has to be worth it financially, and that's why the NBA is doing it.
No doubt. And I don't blame them if they would have just came out and said it, right? And I'm just a believer in that. If they would, if Silver, Commissioner Silver would have came out and said, listen, guys, obviously part of this is about money, you know, playing the sport itself is, right? So we need to get 70 games in. They could couch it as we owe it to our TV partners. And you know what? For some of these teams, it's going to be like a preseason game, right? But what we know is coming in the playoffs, everyone's going to be ready. Now, that's actually, I mean, I convinced myself when I was saying it right there. I mean, I did. It's like that's a compelling point. And what, do you really think the fans going to these games don't know that? So it's like, why not just be honest? To me, the disingenuousness is the problem. And you know what else is the problem, finally? Is that the media, I mean, I don't like when people act like they're the only one saying something, not naming any names, just saying, is I have not heard this very much. I mean, I have not heard harsh criticism of the East especially, which is where I think it's deserved. Have you?
No, not a lot. I think people are just... And I think the NBA knows this.
It's not about people, Jonas. It's about the media that's being paid a lot of money to comment.
But I think the NBA, I think Major League Baseball, they know that once sports comes back, we're going to be so happy to have it that nobody's really going to be critical of how it's put together.
But what about all this time now where everyone's trying to figure out what to talk about? Seems like a good chance to be critical.
Yeah, but then something else pops up and everybody jumps on it.
Or maybe they love Adam Silver.
There's that too.
He can't do any wrong.
Nope.
And I love some things about Adam Silver too. Remember, and I've said this a few times, I'll say it quickly, he wrote an op-ed in the New York Times that started the ball rolling with legalized gambling. He said, we're in daily fantasy. It's hypocritical to act like it's different than gambling. And it really made a difference. So thank you, Commissioner Silver. Please tell us the truth on this one. I don't think we're going to get that. All right. Malcolm Jenkins said something about COVID that I think is borderline absurd.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. You can check out the show on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
I tell you, Jonas, I think this has been one of our best shows. And you might think I'm jinxing it. It's like, no, I love to look fate in the face and say, I'm not scared.
I made a mistake, though, and I need to correct myself.
Yeah. How so?
Well, because I called him Larry Allen instead of Larry Brown, and there's a big difference between the two.
Larry Allen was the lineman for the Cowboys.
Yeah, and he's like one of the all-time greats. Larry Brown was, you know, Neil O'Donnell's buddy in the Super Bowl. So.
But he did go, Al Davis did, give him a big contract. All right, so first off, I don't know if you heard the details there, but the number about the noose and Bubba Watt were, you know, after the fact, it was like, oh, well, this was the way they do it in garages. Did I hear that right? That there were 1,000 garages they looked at and none of them had the same tie knot, I guess?
Yeah, I saw that. It was a large number, and that was the only one that was tied that way.
Wow. Well, yeah. Listen, in about 10 minutes, I'm going to be talking. I think NASCAR, Bubba Wallace, and the media each are going to get a grade for how this has gone down. One is an F. That's all I'll say right now. But this Malcolm Jenkins, so safety for the Saints. And since you're the, you know, loquacious, beautiful tone voice, You want to read his quote? You got it in front of you here?
Yeah. Malcolm Jenkins, in an interview with CNN, the New Orleans Saints safety, said, quote, football is a non-essential business, and so we don't need to do it. So the risk has to be really eliminated before we would and before I would feel comfortable with going back. That, according to Malcolm Jenkins.
That is the key.
Yeah.
The risk must be eliminated. Now, let's think about how illogical that is. When is the risk going to be eliminated? Is at soonest would be when there's a vaccine. So, you know, estimates, and we don't know, first of the year. Others are saying next summer. And who knows? It could be they don't have one for a while. So there's not going to – so does that mean – I mean, just right there, if there was a – any kind of host that in any way was listening or asking questions. And again, I'm not, obviously he's a professional host. I just don't understand why when people say things like this, the next question is, well, to eliminate it, it's going to require this. Most likely it won't be till at this day at the earliest. So you don't think there should be any, you think there should be no sports till then? Now that's an interesting answer, right? Cause if he says no, no sports, then that's a story. But didn't seem to be get pushed back on. Does this seem illogical to you?
Yeah, I don't know what he's waiting for. Everything that I've heard is that we were waiting to flatten the curve and just kind of manage it. Like we
Well, that was to open up. But
yeah.
I mean, this is the thing, though. Think about, and again, people always say, RJ, it seems like one week you're pro player, one week you're pro owners. It's like I honestly try to look at this. Well, I do two things. I try to look at it the way I feel, but I also am more passionate when everyone else seems to be talking the other way. Because it's like, what are they? They're missing something. And then I want to really make sure to get, you know, we're lucky enough to have a national platform. I want to get this conversation out. And I think our listeners, in fact, I know our listeners enjoy that because the feedback I get often is, you know, you guys are doing this differently. And to me, I'm proud of that because, you know, there's no way we're going to do Colin's show better than Colin. I mean, you might think so, but I don't. I mean, he's the best that there's probably ever been at that kind of show. So why try to be less than that, right? And from Vegas, it's easy to do it a different way. But to me, that made no sense. And that the goal should be there should not be inordinate risk. The player shouldn't be forced out of, let's say, peer pressure or, you know, consensus mob mentality to endanger themselves. I totally agree there. But the idea that there should be less risk of COVID than the normal flu, which kills, like last year, I think it was 60,000 Americans.
Yeah.
Anytime you have an event like this, from driving to the game to all the other stuff, there's some risk. The question is, what's acceptable? We were ahead of that, to be candid, talking about it. And I think the leagues have done a pretty good job since, though, saying here's the risk that we can accept. And actually, the proof of that to me is the fact that there's players and teams coming down with COVID all the time, and it's not slowing them down because they understand that's part of the game, which is to play at this point. And that's something you were actually out front on. Any closing thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think I just look at what the PGA came out and announced that just said, you know, we have to learn to live with the virus. That's just part of the reality. It's a virus. It's not going to go anywhere anytime soon. I thought what the UFC did was massive when they had a fighter test positive and two of his cornermen, and they put on 11 fights the next night, and nobody else tested positive. I think we've got to get past the overall fear of getting the virus and start focusing on now what when you get the virus, and I think that's the better approach to take.
Yeah, and if there is no vaccine, almost everyone will get it.
Yeah.
Right? Just they get the flu. Hopefully, the vaccine comes soon enough that at least I can avoid it. You know, I mean, like Fezzik, I'm self-interested too. All right, when we come back, last break, NASCAR, Bubba Wallace, the media. They each get a grade. One of them's an F.
That's coming up next, but first, Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone, he's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.
And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We're straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. So, RJ, there have been many twists and turns since this past weekend and the discovery of a noose in the garage of NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace, the latest being a picture that was posted to social media provided by NASCAR of the noose in question earlier today.
It was the best of times, the worst of times. There's two stories here, the tale of two stories. It was before and after. And it's all about the timeline. So let's think about before. And what we're going to do is we're going to grade the participants, NASCAR, Bubba Wallace, and the media, the sports media. You hear the tone of my voice? All right. Now, number one, I am much, much, much easier on NASCAR and Bubba Wallace before, because the point could be made that NASCAR, in the press release, drew attention, in a way that seemed calculated. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
And it's like, huh, gambling in Casablanca, and a sports league is doing something righteous, or at least they perceive as righteous, and I think certainly it would be righteous protecting your driver if it was known to be, or if it wasn't not the case, right? In hindsight, but they didn't know that. We talked about that yesterday. You can't blame them for not knowing that. That's not their job. You know, Joe Paterno would have been much better off if he didn't try to figure out if something's true or not. He should report it to the authorities, right? And it's, you know, everyone's got their specialty. The fact the FBI came in there and had tape of the news coming into the place blows your mind. It makes you know not to commit crimes in the modern era. But the fact is, how would NASCAR figure that out, right? They can just do what they do. But the fact that they were looking for to make themselves look good along the way, of course, right? What else are they going to do?
Yeah.
Right? That's business. And the fact that Bubba Wallace went on CNN and was talking the way he was, and also you could say drawing attention in an over-the-top way, some have said, of course. Hey, he's building his brand. The guy who doesn't do that, you don't know his name usually. So I don't love it, but it's just it's part of the game. And anyone who's complaining about that is going to be complaining about absurd things, right? So I think that anyone that's being critical beforehand, Bubba Wallace, NASCAR, is being overly critical. Now, when it comes to the media, what's their job? Their job isn't to build their brand. Their job is to report the news, is to have an analysis of the news if you're an opinion guy. And it felt like to me, Jonas, and you can tell me as we wind down here, there was not any soberness. There was not any Johnny Cochran, don't rush your judgment. It was like, it's a foregone conclusion and let's go. That's not the media's job. I give them an F on that. What do you think?
Yeah, it just felt like a series of victory laps on both sides. No pun intended, being a NASCAR story. It just felt like every development in the story, everybody was jumping up and down, celebrating, and then something would come back out, and they would, you know, call into question the source or call into question the reaction. It just, yeah, it felt like everybody had a little bit of a one-sided interest in this whole thing.
And, you know, it goes without saying, I guess, that, I don't think that's the way to say it, but is, you know, on FSR, Clay Travis is nationally known as a guy who's, you know, less left than typical media, however you want to describe his position. And I felt like, you know, quite frankly, that he was so hard on Bubba Wallace. He was so hard on, NASCAR. And the media, you know, he was hard on all of them. And I think oftentimes it's warranted to be hard. It's just in this case, especially now with the late breaking news, that the shape of this knot really was unique, that it's just not seen around. It really makes me feel like that it even reinforces that NASCAR and Bubba Wallace did go to the authorities. How else would they have responded considering how rare that noose was?
If you missed any of today's show, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas. We are back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio, and as always, on the iHeart Radio app.
Straight out of Vegas!